us founders and entrepreneurs, we need to be very, very mindful what kind of companies are we building, what kind of impact that has.
Willkommen zu unserer ersten Folge von Neue Gründerzeit in englischer Sprache. Ich bin Ann-Christine Schmidt-Rogalla und habe heute Baiba Soyka zu Gast. Das ist die Gründerin von Wegshelf. Wenn ihr Englisch nicht so gut versteht, könnt ihr euch gerne das deutsche Transkript dieser Folge durchlesen. Das gibt's zum Download auf gründen.nrw. Hello, Baiba. I am so happy to have you here today and to welcome you to our podcast. And I am so excited to hear and learn more about Wegshelf. Can you explain to me and our listeners what Wegshelf does actually?
Yeah, sure. So before that, thank you very much for having me. My pleasure. You're right. We started Wegshelf, started working on Wegshelf back in 2018 on the concept, but officially founded the company in August 2019. And what is Wegshelf? So Wegshelf, it's a B2B platform for plant-based food products. So we enable restaurants and stores to not only discover and find all the emerging plant-based and vegan food products, but also to source them. And so with Wegshelf, we have essentially two goals. So one is we believe that all the amazing, healthy food products should be more accessible in all kinds of channels, meaning retail, food service, so starting from the small coffee shops to the supermarket chains. So that is the one thing, to make plant-based food products accessible. And the second goal is to make the wholesale easy. Yeah, and that's where where we touch my background. My background is within B2B sales and food product marketing and distribution. And I know very well what are the kind of business practices in that B2B world and wholesale world. Basically, it still is all based on trade fairs, on phone calls, on emails. So it's very, very, I would say, archaic practices, right? So that's the second goal that we are trying to achieve, to innovate and digitize the wholesale and to make it really easier.
Okay. The demand for plant-based food is growing the last few years. What do you think? Would Wegshelf have been successful 5 years ago?
Definitely not. Actually, the whole story of Wegshelf starts from my and my business partner's personal kind of experience. So we shifted towards more plant-based diet. Every time we would do grocery shopping or would eat out in restaurant, we would be like, come on, like why there is such a few products on, or just a small tiny shelf in the supermarket, or just very few or no options in restaurant. Yeah. So we thought, but meanwhile, we knew that there are these amazing brands developing these innovative products. When we started working on Wegshelf in 2018, I remember very well that there were many people who were like, but Baiba, come on, it's just a trend, you know, the same like avocado toast, they'll go away, right? I was never a big meat eater, so I was kind of vegetarian, flexitarian in that like kind of area personally for quite a long while and been following all the market developments for quite a while. And I knew, I was 100% sure that this is not just a trend. So that's not gonna be just like 1 year euphoria of vegan that will just go away. And that proved to be right. Yeah, I'm very happy about that. But yeah, sure, 5 years ago, no chance. And that goes actually from, I would say from both, from the kind of plant-based trend and the movement side, but then also from the B2B sales, digital tools, from that side. Because 5 years ago, there were so many businesses just like, you know, going only to trade fairs, not looking so much into digital, using digital tools at all for their business purposes. And now with the COVID accelerating and kind of pushing us to work from home and closing all the trade fairs, we see even more these, like the trend of using more digital tools also in businesses has been accelerated tremendously. we needed COVID as the final push to say that, okay, that's the future. Yeah. So
that's true. You mentioned that your surrounding called you a little crazy when you started with founding Backshelf. How does it feel to do or to start a business if the surrounding does not really stand behind you? Or how did you handle that?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, if you ask my parents, I was always stubborn from the moment I walked. If they would say to me, go on the left, I would go on the right. Yeah, so because I thought that was the way. Yeah, jokes aside, yeah, it is actually very hard, of course, you know, since if you don't have a support system or people are really questioning your ideas. But then I think also it's actually good. Let's say if your friends start to question your idea, over dinner, it trains you actually for the pitch to investors, for example, when they ask you hard questions. And then also it pushes you to think from this particular idea or the project from all kinds of various sides and think over, analyze, read more, do more research, talk with your users, verify whether I or what I believe in, or whether the person who was confronting me is right. Yeah, so it actually is good, but of course that requires a lot of belief in yourself and believing in what you can do. So it is hard, but it's doable. But it requires a lot of inner work as well, of course.
You and your fiancé founded Backshelf together. So be honest, who of you had the idea?
That's right. Yeah. So we are running it together, and I was the initial founder. So the idea originally comes from me. But since we are partners in life and partners in business, a lot of our experiences, they overlap, right? So and of course, even at the very, very beginning, he was the one with whom I was discussing. What do you think? You know, like, also discussing all the, like, where the industry goes, how we could solve this problem of that there is not enough plant-based food products in stores and retail, and also that for emerging brands, food brands, it's very hard to get into retail and food service. So how can we solve that, right? It wasn't the plan, actually, that he will join. So it also happened gradually, and that was also something, you know, as for many great things, you need a time test. And that's what we had, you know, to really test. We've been working on some not so serious projects before, like networking meetups and so on. We've been working together. So obviously we knew how it is. But when you start a business, you want to make sure that the person that you are working with, you know the person really well. And over the time, it proved that we are, as a team, we are very, very powerful. We complement our skill set. Our experiences are diverse, professional experiences. So yeah, it's been great so far.
Okay. So how can I imagine that? Did you sit together in the kitchen while having breakfast and then one of you said, oh, okay, let's do this?
As far as I remember, the idea of Backshelf concept and somewhat in that direction started, actually it was somewhere in the back of my mind beginning of 2018. Yeah, and then that was the time when I was running this export management company, going to a lot of trade fairs. Some of our customers within that company were also plant-based manufacturers, and that was also the time when I was the first who shifted to plant-based diet after watching some movies and reading some books. I realized, okay, that's absolutely the way. And then somehow, you know, I brought this discussion at home, and then we discussed that. Yeah, so from all kinds of sides, right? So from eating plant-based, why it's important, not only for human health, for animals, for environment, but also from the B2B practices, why trade fairs are so inefficient, and so on. So it was, yeah. You can say somewhat that it kind of started maybe at the kitchen table, but not over one particular breakfast, but probably over and over the time, you know, just discussing it more and kind of, through going through various layers.
So what does a normal working day or a typical working day looks like for you?
So let's describe the kind of the perfect day that I'm aiming for to be every day. I wake up usually around 6 in the morning. Then I'm doing a workout. So I'm a morning fitness person to really have the high energy for the day. Then sometimes, I have a breakfast. Sometimes I just have a coffee or matcha, and then I start working. I would say around 1 as I think the typical time for lunch break. I spend a lot of time at the laptop. So working with the computer, since you're a digital company, so it's a lot of work in the office. So there I would say it's nothing kind of super interesting. Yeah? So not really going to places, especially with the COVID lockdown. Then making sure to have a break also around 5-6, and then we usually also take the walking meeting with Marcus, then to discuss some challenges that have come up during the day or so. Then dinner, and then usually also back to work a bit, and then we. It really depends, but at this point, for the last, I think this year has been absolutely crazy in a good way. Externally in a bad way, of course, of the COVID. But for us, it's been very busy and good. And then we finish work around sometimes 12 in the night, sometimes 10. So it really varies. But yeah, you got the backside of the not so beautiful startup life.
Yes, it's not like what you see on the outside. It's always different what is behind the scenes.
Absolutely. Usually, whenever this topic comes up, I'm very honest and outspoken because I really don't like how the startups are positioned with all the media glory and all its beautiful and overnight success, because it's never the case. It's not hard to start a business. Yeah, if you just go to the registration office and submit the papers and it's done. Yeah. So that's the super easy part. But the difficult part is to really build a company.
You are born in Latvia. When did you move to Germany and why did you move to Germany?
Mm-hmm. So that's correct. I'm originally from Latvia and I moved to Düsseldorf around 3-4 years ago. With the breaks here and there. And the main reason actually was that my fiance, Marcis, after graduating his university in UK, he started working in Düsseldorf as engineer. So we were having a long distance relationship. And at that point, I was living back in Riga, Latvia, working as export manager, as employee, with no actually plans even starting a company. So I was just very ambitious, very driven employee with somewhat clear career development. So I think it what happens also to many young professionals. I worked like crazy. I worked during the working hours, after the working hours. So and what happened, I had a burnout. Yeah. So and as a result, I had also some health issues that needed to be solved right away. And that was the kind of moment which I'm actually super grateful now when I look back, because it was a perfect thunderstorm for me. Stop for a moment, look what you are doing, look at your lifestyle, it's not sustainable to go like that. Since I needed to recover after the surgery, I realized that I want to really make a change also in environment where I was living. So I was like, I really decided, okay, I will just pack my bags and move to Düsseldorf, where Marcus was already. And at that point, it was actually a very crazy kind of idea of mine. And my parents, they were like, what are you gonna do there, And I really had no plan or whatsoever. I was like, okay, we'll just pack my bags, come here, see what it's like. And in the worst case, I can always go back and live at my parents' place and then figure it out further on. So it's been crazy.
Thank you for sharing that. I read that you are a repeat offender and you already had a company in Latvia before. What do you think? Where are the differences building a company in Latvia comparing to building a company in Germany. Are there any differences, or mm-hmm. what are your experiences concerning that?
That's right. Before Vegshelf, I was running export management company back in Latvia, which actually was running from the distance at first, yeah, because when I moved here in Germany, at that point there was no, I didn't have any business, yeah. So then after traveling and living also then in between also in UK, in Japan, and that was the time when I was in UK, that was the time when I started a company and it registered that in Latvia. So it's kind of a complex story. and the first company was really managed from the distance a lot. And yeah, so I'm lucky that I have had these two experiences of starting a company in Latvia and in Germany. Latvia is very, as you probably have heard, it's very, it's a small country, but it's very digital, I would say, when you compare with some of the big countries of Europe, like France or Germany, and that you can also see had an impact also on all the kind of bureaucracy levels, how big they are or they are not. And so registering company in Latvia is, I would say, it's super, super easy. Yeah. So you probably have heard of Estonia, EID and then citizenship and then registering company there also from the distance. So it's not that good in Latvia, but it's very, very similar.
So how does it feel to start a business in a country which language you don't speak so well? And how are you doing all the bureaucratic matters? So I think even for me, it's hard to do that in Germany. Yeah. And I speak German. So I can imagine that it's very hard for someone who is not speaking the language.
It is. It is. So I think that's also something that I needed to really kind of mentally prepare. There are multiple challenges. So basically you when you come to a new country, you need to start everything from the complete blank page. Yeah. So you have nothing. You have no support system. You have no network. You have no knowledge about the local business ecosystem. Yeah, over the time, you just get a thicker skin. And the things that seem challenging or upsetting at first, now they are peanuts.
What do you love most about entrepreneurship?
Wow, that's a good question. How I see entrepreneurship, it's my medium of expression and creating an impact in the world. That's my kind of tool to create the change. That's how I see that. And I think us founders and entrepreneurs, we need to be very, very mindful what kind of companies are we building, what kind of impact that has. And the lastly is to also serve as inspiration for others so that others may believe that it is possible, yeah, to start a company in a foreign country and go through all the obstacles. So just believing in yourself. So it's a lot of responsibility, actually, to be as an entrepreneur. While I'm talking, I realize that.
That's so inspiring. Thank you. My last question for you, Baiba. What would you say is your advice for anyone listening to us and thinking about founding a company?
Well, I would just say, just do it. Believe in yourself. There will always be people in close circles, even in family, which was also the case for me, in the family, in the close circles of friends, you will always have the people who question you, who don't believe you. But whatever they say, you know, you just go for it. Find a way that keeps you focused, centered. Find this kind of church for you, what works, yeah. So whether that's fitness, as it is for me, or that's something else that keeps you focused and centered and gives you additional energy just to push through any challenges that comes your way. Just be brave, be bold, and just make your dreams a reality.
Thank you so much. Baiba, thank you so much for your time, your answers and your personal insights. I really enjoyed talking to you and I wish you, your fiancé and Vegshelf all the best, all the success you can get. And yes, thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure being here.
Ich hoffe, ihr habt genauso viel Neues erfahren wie ich und ich sage danke und bis zum nächsten Mal. Und wenn ihr weitere Gründungsgeschichten ansehen, anhören oder lesen wollt, dann schaut doch auch mal unter gründen.nrw rein.